Today on CityCast Philly, 2024 is a big election year. There's a presidential race and Pennsylvania's primary is next week. So before you head to the polls, there's a number of important local and statewide races you'll see on your ballot. I'm speaking with two journalists to break down the stakes for this year's election season. It's Monday, April 15th. I'm Trini Nuri, and here's what Philly's talking about. Joining me is Katie Meyer, government editor and reporter for Spotlight PA, a nonprofit newsroom. Welcome back to CityCast Philly.
Great to be here.
And our very own Hey Philly newsletter editor, Asha Prahar. Hey, Asha.
Hi.
Okay, as I said at the top, we've got a primary coming up in a presidential election year, but the major parties, the Democrats and Republicans, already have their presumptive presidential nominees. What does that mean for Pennsylvania primary voters?
Well, it's funny. I mean, as most people are familiar with, if you watch the political process play out, primaries happen all through the spring, and Pennsylvania's is just really late. So because ours is so late, most of the time, things are solidified by the time you get to us. There have been efforts in the past to move up Pennsylvania's primary to make it earlier. And especially this year, the primary falls during Passover. So there was a really big concerted effort to move it. And lawmakers were not able to do that in the state legislature. They kept trying to attach various things to the bill, and it failed to pass.
Now, Pennsylvania, though, does matter when it comes to the presidential candidates, right?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. So when we get to the general election, it's just kind of all hands on deck here in Pennsylvania. And that is because we are a swing state. We've been a swing state. And so, you know, because we're so purple, because we're so evenly divided politically, whichever way Pennsylvania goes, it is one of the states that intends to determine who wins.
Right. So next week, like we said, is the PA primary. Now, this is for voters who are registered for a particular party. Independent voters, who we'll talk about later in the show, won't be able to vote for any party candidates. So I just want to let that be known. So let's start running through the primary races that are significant here. I've been seeing so many names of people running for attorney general. Katie, why is this position important?
Oh, it's a hugely important position. So the attorney general is basically the top prosecutor in Pennsylvania. And so they can run investigations. They can prompt investigations. There was a massive investigation into child sex abuse in the Catholic Church, for instance, several years ago. And that came out of the state attorney general's office. So it gives you a sense of what they can do. It also is a really key springboard to higher office. Josh Shapiro, who is currently the governor, was attorney general. So that gives you a sense. It's a high profile position. And the reason there's so many candidates this year is it's also wide open. The attorney general who took over when Shapiro became the governor is not running for reelection because she's stepping down. Both sides have no incumbent. And so it's just wide open primaries.
Katie, who is running on the Republican ticket in the primary?
Sure. So for that one, it's a slightly smaller field. So Dave Sunday is one of the Republicans. He is the party endorsed candidate, and he is the York County District Attorney. And he is running against Craig Williams, a state representative. Both of them have had pretty well-funded campaigns. And Williams is absolutely, he's not like an outsider candidate or anything. He just didn't get the party endorsement. So that's the Republicans.
Now, there are a lot of Democratic candidates. Who's running for AG?
So I will just give you a rundown of those. We've got Keir Bradford Gray. Her background is in defense, and she's based in Philadelphia. Eugene DePasquale, he is the former auditor general, which we'll get into in a minute what that is. Joe Kahn, a former Bucks County solicitor. Jared Solomon, state representative from Philadelphia. Jack Stolzheimer is the Delaware County District Attorney. And so that is the Democratic side. And they, unlike the Republicans, have not seen a party endorsement. So the Dems, they kind of just stayed out of it. And what you've seen is then a very, very close race. So nobody's really broken away in this primary. Jared Solomon has had a lot of money on hand, and that's mostly because of John Middleton, who's the owner of the Phillies, gave him a bunch of money. And so, yeah, it's kind of anyone's race over there.
Katie, with so many people on the Democratic side, how can voters pick, though?
Well, it just comes down to your preferences, actually. So Spotlight just launched a tool where we really did our best to draw out the minor differences between all these candidates. And so if you go to our website, you'll see it promoted there now. It'll walk you through all of these candidates and ask you, you know, do you want somebody who is a state representative? Do you want somebody whose background is in prosecution or defense? Do you want somebody who said this specific thing about abortion or this specific thing about gun rights? And so that can give you a really good sense of these differences between the candidates. And if you're a registered Republican, it's not just a Democratic tool. It'll also walk you through the same series of questions between Sunday and Williams. So I highly recommend checking that out, because you're right, Trinae. It's like, you know, these are really important roles, but these are also kind of similar candidates in a lot of ways.
Awesome.
I just took that quiz this morning.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes. I'm very glad to hear that. Was it helpful?
I mean, I wasn't sure what I wanted out of an attorney general, so I feel like I needed to think, reflect more on that.
Right. You know, it becomes a very philosophical question when they're so similar.
Right. Well, we'll have a link to that tool in our show notes. Another big statewide race in this primary is the auditor general position. What does this role do, Katie?
It's a watchdog role. The auditor general monitors what the state is doing with money, how public programs are working. The idea is to catch fraud whenever it's happening, or graft, or any other kind of malfeasance. And so they do very regular reviews of all sorts of, you know, local government spending and also state government spending. And this one, we do have an incumbent. That's Tim DeFore, a Republican. So he's been there for 4 years already. He was the Dauphin County Comptroller before he became the Auditor General. And during his time in office, he's really made a point of trying to promote himself as a pretty nonpartisan and non-political entity. He, you know, in the past, auditors general have sometimes done audits that have really gotten into school funding and things like that, more political questions. DeFore has stayed away from that a little bit more. And then on the Democratic side, we've got Malcolm Kenyatta, who is a Democratic state representative from Philadelphia, along with Mark Pinsley. He is the Lehigh County Comptroller.
There's also the Office of the Treasurer. Who's running for this position, and why is this important?
The treasurer, the role of the office is just to be the steward of state dollars. So the treasurer directly manages billions of dollars that the state has in its savings. They can invest that money, and they also, you know, do various other sort of management techniques to it. They administer a bunch of programs that Pennsylvanians can enroll in, mostly savings programs. So for instance, like PA Able, programs that help you save for college, for healthcare costs, things like that. Stacey Garrity is the incumbent. She has been there for 4 years. This is going to be her second term that she's running for. She's a former Army colonel, and she's known as a very close ally, an outspoken ally of Donald Trump. She's been sort of the opposite of DeFore, the auditor general, who's been sort of apolitical. Garrity's been pretty political. In 2021, right after the election, she had said that there were, you know, questions about the validity of the election. She's been pretty outspoken against abortion, things like that. She has endorsed Donald Trump again as he's running for president another time. On the Democratic side, we've also seen, you know, a really political race. And so that is between Ryan Bizarro and Aaron McClelland. Bizarro is a state representative, and he's from Erie County. And McClelland has not held public office before. She was a substance abuse counselor and a project manager for the Allegheny Department of Human Services. And so Bizarro has really centered his campaign on these national issues that Garrity has gotten involved in. So, you know, protecting abortion access, fighting extremism, not always things that you associate with the treasurer's office.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how does that correlate?
Well, it's funny. I mean, I think a lot of these candidates in the treasurer race, they really see it as more of a platform. Bizarro's whole pitch has been that Garrity uses the treasurer's office as a platform to talk about things like elections.
I see.
And so he's doing a similar thing. McClelland has been more focused on, she says she wants to fight pension privatization. She wants to put supply chain standards in place, in places where they currently aren't. So different approaches to the role, for sure.
More on the upcoming primary election after the break. This is CityCast Philly. All right, Asha, I want to get you into the conversation about the primary election. Asha, you recently wrote a very handy guide for the Hey Philly newsletter and website about what Philadelphians will see on their ballot next week. Can you tell me which state rep races are looking interesting this time around?
Yeah, so there are a number of state House and state Senate races on the ballot, although none of the state Senate races in the primary are contested in Philadelphia. So I was just going to talk about a couple of these like state House races that are contested and are something to watch. So one that has been probably generating the most buzz is District 172. That's Representative Kevin Boyle's district in Northeast Philadelphia. That's Congressman Brendan Boyle's brother, actually. He has represented this district since 2011. But in recent months, things have gotten a little complicated with him. He had an outburst in a bar in Montgomery County a few months ago, and he was caught on video cursing out employees, and he allegedly threatened some of them too. So after this happened, he did file his papers to run for re-election, but he hasn't been in the state legislature really since. According to the Inquirer, his security privileges have been revoked, though in the same article, he disputed that claim. And he also hasn't been really getting support from his fellow Democrats for his re-election. So now he has a Democratic challenger in this primary whose name is Sean Dougherty. That's the nephew of the union leader Johnny Dock and the son of a justice on the state Supreme Court. He was also a public defender until he quit his job to run for this seat. So he's going for that, as well as Kevin Boyle. And then on the Republican side, there are also two people who are competing for that nomination. Their names are Azaz Gill and Patrick Gushue. Gill is the local Republican Party's pick. He's leader of the Burholm Civic Association. Plus, he's also been pretty involved with the Philly GOP. He ran Councilmember Brian O'Neill's reelection campaign last year. And then his opponent, Gushue, is a veteran and a grad student. So Republicans are hoping that in November they could flip this seat. So both of these primaries are something to watch. And it's also something to watch in November because this could be a notable race since the balance of power in the state legislature and the state House particularly is pretty tight right now. And the Dems currently have a slight majority, but there could be some shifting around in the general election.
Interesting. Asha, can you tell us about the 10th district?
This district includes a chunk of West Philly and a small piece of Center City. It's currently represented by Representative Amon Brown. There aren't any Republicans running for this seat, so the real interest here is in the Democratic race. It's a three-way race between the incumbent, Amon Brown, who ran for mayor last year, so you might recognize his name for that.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, And he has two challengers. Their names are Saja Purple Blackwell and Cass Green. Both of them are community organizers. And they actually both ran for this seat last cycle as well in 2022. So it's kind of like a, you know, rehashing that. And Brown won that time, but they're hoping to, you know, change that this time. Mm. And they're all sort of drawing their support from different places. So Green is a progressive. So she's been endorsed by groups like the Working Families Party and Reclaim Philadelphia. Blackwell has some name recognition because her family is sort of this known quantity in Philly politics.
Yeah, the Blackwell family has been involved in Philly politics for decades. Purple's husband, Thomas Blackwell VI, is actually the grandson of the late U.S. Representative Lucian Blackwell.
Yeah. And she's also known for some of her work in the community. And according to the Inquirer, she's being supported by Sheriff Rochelle Bilal and former mayoral candidate Jeff Brown, not to be confused with former mayoral candidate and the representative for the seat, Amon Brown, who is being supported by some top Democratic figures in the state legislature. So that should be interesting to see how all of that turns out.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the 181st district.
So this one is currently represented by Representative Malcolm Kenyatta, who Katie mentioned earlier, is running for Auditor General. He's also on the ballot for this district that he currently represents.
So he can do both?
Yep.
Yep, you can. A couple people who are running for the row offices are also running again for their seats in the legislature.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's different than like the Philly rule where you have to resign to run for a different office. The state ones, they can just kind of run for whatever they want.
Yep. So he'll be on the ballot again. And his district, by the way, is sort of this big swath of North Philly. And it also reaches down into some parts of Center City as well. So this is a seat where, once again, it's all Democrats on the ballot. In addition to Kenyatta, the people who are running for the Democratic nomination include Lewis Nash, who is a businessman and pastor, and Nadira Griffin, who's a former teacher. So the sort of interesting thing that's happening in this race is Nash was also a Democratic ward leader in North Philly, but he was just recently removed from his position because of some remarks that he made several months ago about LGBTQ people at a ward meeting. So according to the Inquirer, Nash is saying that he thinks this removal is part of a long-term plan to replace Kenyatta, which is what would eventually have to happen if he does win the Auditor General race, but to replace him with someone who's like politically connected. So yeah, if you do live in one of these districts that we just mentioned, I would definitely encourage you to read up on some of these happenings and like check out the candidates' campaign websites. You can access all of that through the election guide that Trine mentioned earlier, which is posted on the CityCast Philly website. And there is also some information about more local races.
Great. Now, again, for independent or unaffiliated voters, is there anything that they can vote on?
In Philadelphia, yes. So everyone, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, whether you're an independent voter or unaffiliated, you'll see a proposed charter change on your ballot. This charter change asks if the city should, this is some kind of like more technical language here, indemnify and defend registered community organizations where there are claims made against them because of their participation in the zoning process.
Ooh, unpack that.
So unpacking that, what that means is basically, so there are these organizations in Philadelphia that are called registered community organizations. They're often called RCOs for short, if you ever heard that term before. And these organizations basically give community members a way to provide feedback on the development that's happening in their neighborhoods. And they review projects that require zoning variances, which are exceptions from typical zoning rules. So essentially, if you vote yes on this question, you're basically saying that you would like for the city to come up with some kind of system to help RCOs pay their legal bills if they happen to be sued for participating in the zoning variance process. So some people are thinking that this is a good idea because it gives a sort of financial cushion to these volunteer organizations who might not have the means to counter lawsuits by developers that might have more money, deeper pockets. But on the other hand, there are other people who are not so in favor of this because they think it could lead to less development and a general slowdown of new real estate projects happening in Philadelphia because it could give RCOs the opportunity to basically appeal projects indefinitely.
Awesome. So looking ahead to November, this primary that we're talking about is setting the course for the general election later this year. Katie, anything you're looking at going forward on how the election will shape up in Pennsylvania?
Oh, yeah, a number of things. You know, Asha was talking a little bit about these state house races. The state house and the state senate, honestly, are both close to flippable. And that's something we've, you know, cover closely at Spotlight. And one of the things that's notable is that in the primary, a great number of these races are decided. And that is because there are relatively few races that are actually competitive. Mm. We have just, you know, many, many districts that get decided in the primary. So whoever wins, that is probably going to be your state representative in dozens and dozens of districts. The ones that we will be following more closely, Asha mentioned Kevin Boyle's current seat in Philly. Those kinds of seats that are actually flippable between parties are a smaller number of these races. So as we move into the general, you know, we're going to be looking at who won these primaries, were there any surprises, but also which races remain competitive. And it's the same thing for all of these big races on the ballot. You know, I think once we're through the primary for attorney general, for instance, things are really going to pick up.
Right.
Especially once, you know, somebody emerges out of the Democratic field. We don't know if it's going to be a surprise or not. So plenty to watch. But of course, you know, people really in Pennsylvania, it's all going to be about the presidential race once we get to the general.
Katie, you also wrote about the Forward Party, which a lot of people may know. The name of Andrew Yang is the co-chair with this party. They're trying to get on the ballot right now in November.
Yes, and you're right. So Andrew Yang has actually been all around Pennsylvania promoting Forward Party candidates. The party's running two candidates. They're going to try to get them on the ballot, and then they're going to try to get them to the bar that like makes them a non-major party in Pennsylvania. But they're running candidates for treasurer and for attorney general. And the whole pitch of this party is that they want to capture voters who feel disenfranchised, feel they're not represented by either major party right now. So they don't like the left wing of the Democratic Party. They don't like the right wing of the Republican Party. This is a party for those moderates. That's the pitch that they're trying to make to voters. And so the way that they get on the ballot is, and the goal, their ultimate goal in what they're trying to do here is they want to become a non-major party by getting to 2% of whoever the highest vote getter is. They have to get 2% of their vote count of the vote in the general election. That gives them the status, which is the same status, for instance, that the Libertarian Party and the Green Party have in Pennsylvania, where when you're a voter and you go to register to vote, you can choose to register in these parties. And so that's what they want to do here. You'll also, by the way, probably start to see toward August a little bit of news about RFK.
RFK Jr.?
It's RFK Jr., who is running for president as a non-major party candidate. And I can almost guarantee you that if he does indeed get to that point where he's submitting signatures to get on the ballot in Pennsylvania, those will be challenged in court. So something to look forward to.
All right. That was Katie Meyer, government editor and reporter for Spotlight PA, and Hey Philly newsletter editor Asha Prahar. Thank you both so much for breaking this all down on CityCast Philly.
Thank you, Trinae.
Thanks for having us.
For more information about the races we mentioned in this episode, check out the CityCast Philly primary election guide and Spotlight PA's Your Next AG tool. Those links will be in our show notes. That's all for today here on CityCast Philly. Let us know what you think of this episode. Rate the show, leave us a review, and hit that subscribe button. Be sure to sign up for our morning newsletter, Hey Philly, to learn more about what else Philly's talking about. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye.